follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello and welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and we have a wonderful guest today. It's going to be Roger Drummer. And at a recent international conference in Copenhagen on non-communicable diseases in April, a bunch of world experts concluded that increasing burdens of modern non-communicable diseases on the national economies of rich and poor nations threatened the world's economic system. That's pretty serious. And yet we hear that over 70% of these diseases, which strike people at ever younger ages, including heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, and mental illness, could be avoided or postponed by lifestyle factors that individuals can actually control in their own lives. Is it so difficult, expensive, or complicated to make those changes? What paths should be followed to assure a longer, healthier life for our loved ones? My guest is Roger Drummer, a world-renowned expert in nutrition and oriental herbal medicine. Roger studied numerous different healing modalities, including Jin Shin Do, Shiatsu, pranic healing, acupuncture, and oriental medicine, and has been helping thousands for three decades. Roger will share his powerful insights on how families can eliminate the major causes of these debilitating diseases and live healthy. Roger's a diplomat of Chinese herbology with the National Certification Commission for Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine. He travels throughout North America lecturing on the benefits of Chinese tonal herbalism and nutrition. Roger has formulated personalized tonic herb and nutrition programs for tens of thousands of clients, including many notable celebrities. He's created nutritional supplement product lines for different companies, and he's taught courses to the public on health and nutrition and trained apprentices in the art of Chinese herbalism. He's also a spokesperson for Functional Fungi, a grower and distributor of medicinal mushrooms for whom he lectures on mushrooms' powerful immune properties. He holds a U.S. patent for his growing process for biologically active anthocyanin-rich medicinal mushrooms. He's given hundreds of lectures and seminars in the past 10 years and has weekly wonderful teleseminars. He's a published writer, also a former triathlete, avid runner, cycling enthusiast, and also a husband and father of three girls. So welcome to Family First, Roger.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I want to ask you at the very beginning, what got you interested in nutrition and herbology when you started almost 30 years ago?
Well, it's actually quite funny because I don't think I had an interest in either one of them until at first. I mean, it was never something I desired to go into or even knew anything about. I got into nutrition because I happened to pick up a book called The Jim Fix's Book of Running. And I had just by coincidence started jogging a couple weeks before that. And in his book, he noted in one of the chapters that if he had some friends that ate a vegetarian diet, and he noticed they could go out running an hour after eating dinner and it didn't bother them. And I noticed just in the little bit of time I was running that I couldn't run at all for 3 hours after eating. I thought, well, that's interesting, so I tried it. Well, I've been a vegetarian now for 30 years, so it kind of stuck with me. But that's how I got into nutrition. And interestingly enough, I had just moved across country right after that happened, and I needed a job right away. And so I answered an ad for a part-time job in a deli. And it turned out to be a deli inside a very large health food store, about 12,000 square feet. And because they just hired someone before I walked in, they said, well, we need an assistant manager. And so I became the assistant manager of it, and then right away had to learn everything that was in the entire store because it was my job to order all those products. And so that's how I got into nutrition. It was just kind of just fell in my lap.
Oh, that's a neat story. I remember Jim Fix's book. It was a bestseller at the time, and he got a lot of people out there exercising and thinking twice about what they were eating, and that's really cool. And then working for a health food store, I've done that, and you have to learn a lot fast working at a health food store.
Yeah, and you know, as far as the herbology, it was the same thing, really. I was just transitioning out of a job that I was working, managing a nutrition department and health food store. And in that time, I had become a nutritionist, you know, went out and actually got some education in it because it was my field. I was in that environment every single day. And then I ended up, because I was a triathlete, I ended up actually getting chronic fatigue. And in the process of trying to learn things about how my body actually worked, a little more depth to it, I started studying shiatsu and wandered into a Chinese herb shop in Los Angeles and found out, you know, I was there to get some supplements for my own, you know, fatigue, found out that they took apprentices and then became a unpaid apprentice to a person that was considered to be an herbal master, and ended up staying there for 14 years. And I had, again, I had no desire or even knew anything about Oriental medicine so much, but I just had so many powerful experiences that it's now become my whole life, and it's what I've done ever since.
Oh, that's so cool. And now you teach the herbology like the master taught you. That's really neat. So
yeah, you know, it's one of those things that just keeps growing and growing. It never gets boring. There's always something evolving in that field.
Yes, yes. I remember when I was writing some articles about nutrition in the 70s, and Harvard came out with a statement saying, I think we know just about all we need to know about nutrition. And my husband and I laughed, and it was after that there was such a burgeoning of literature and new information and new science, and it was very funny. We've learned so much in the last few years, but it's also sometimes it's about getting back to basics. You've counseled a number of celebrities. Can you tell us a story?
Oh, a good story?
Sure.
well, I have, I mean, quite a few, probably around 40 different ones. And it was
really kind
of surprising to me. It was just part of the environment that I was in at that shop. And when I got elevated after a year or two of apprenticing to being a full-time herbalist, I just started doing all kinds of consultations. And surprisingly, people laugh at this, my very first private consultation where I scheduled an appointment with someone and they came in and seen me exclusively was Mel Gibson.
Oh, so
I didn't start
right?
out with just anybody walking in off the street. I got Mel, right? So I ended up doing a three-hour consultation with him and a man who was his first on the first movie he was actually producing and being the director, and that was Man Without a Face. And so that was my introduction into doing personalized consultations. And then from there, I've done a lot of people like Tom Selleck and was an herbalist for Ron Woods of the Rolling Stones, and it just kind of blossomed from there. And so it was just part of the environment I was in, and it was a lot of fun. And some of those people are really down to earth, as normal as anybody else you would ever meet, and some of them are really wild, off-the-wall, eccentric people. So it's just like a slice of life is what you said.
Yes, it's a lot of fun. And Selleck still looks very good. He must have taken your advice.
He was one of the nicest people I've ever dealt with. In my whole life.
That's
really
good
was.
To hear.
I was out to his house a few times And he's just a great guy. His whole family is just great.
That's neat. That's neat. So you've done a lot to become fully informed about what is now your chosen life's work. That's great. The recent Copenhagen Conference on Non-Communicable Diseases reported that even in the developing third world countries, these diseases of modern living are starting to take over and are responsible for over 60% now of the deaths in those countries. And they also say that it's mainly related to their fast development and adopting Western ways. Could you comment on that, Roger?
Well, it's the most common thing in the world for any class of people, doesn't matter what country it's in. As soon as they start to raise their standard of living, they try to get away from what they are associated with most in their life at this given stage. And for most people, they've had to grow all their own food. Everything is made every single meal. Everything has so much labor involved in it. And so when they get a little bit of money, right away they move away from that standard, that typical diet that they evolved with, to one of faster food, more heavily processed food, and a lot of meat. Because generally when someone's poor in a developing country, the first thing they do when they get more money is buy a lot of meat. And then they stop eating so much vegetable and fruit and move into that denser food. And so it's just a common thing. And then you have all these, you know, the developed countries, when they see that a country is actually starting to move forward economically, it normally gets flooded with the cheapest fast food as the new businesses that crop up in these areas. So you have a lot of fast food. You have a lot of products full of sugar and food chemicals that these people have never been exposed to. And sure, it tastes fantastic. A lot of it has, you know, chemicals in it and tons of sugar, and they actually don't realize they're getting a little bit of a brain buzz from all the stuff in it. And so it's easy to feel like that is almost like a sign that you've moved up in the social ladder, that you're seen actually buying this type of food, you're using these types of products. So it's just very common and an easy trap to fall into.
Oh, that was a great explanation. I saw that myself, actually, for myself. My parents' favorite place to visit was the South Pacific Islands, and there was a period of about 15 years where we went down three different times, and I saw the difference in those 15 years, and our cruise ship would bring in Sara Lee coffee cakes, and they unloaded them first, so they would be fresh to the baker before they let the passengers off, and they said they were the most popular new product. That's exactly what you were saying. And I saw the difference in the children in the street. The first year we were there, they had big, brilliant smiles, beautiful teeth and dentation and nice wide faces. And 15 years later, those kids, they were fighting. Some were skinny, some were fat. Their teeth were brown. It was such a dramatic difference. And that was just that 15-year changeover that the French and Americans started bringing all the junk into the islands.
Right. Yeah, it's the most common thing is that sugar is basically the main thing that messes up everyone's diet. And it's not just directly sugar, but the products that are made in a way that they digest just as quickly and they raise your blood sugar. Literally, you can look at almost every health issue that's related to diet and see that it's all related to too high of an elevated glucose content in the blood. Everything comes back to that. And so the fast foods, automatically, your liver becomes overburdened, and all of a sudden you're on that, what they call metabolic syndrome. You're on that precipice of getting five major diseases, and they're just waiting to see which one crops up first. But you'll probably get them all.
Let's talk more about that. We're up on a break. Roger, listeners, please stay tuned.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking with Roger Drummer, who's a diplomat of Chinese herbology and a nutrition specialist and world-renowned counselor to many, many celebrities and others, and a teacher of herbology and nutrition. And we've been talking about what happens when developing countries adopt Western patterns as their economy goes upwards, and how they start getting all these same diseases that we've been trouble with for the last 50 years. And these diseases, Roger, include diabetes, cardiovascular problems, pulmonary problems, and liver problems. And we know in the developed world, including the U.S., that these problems are caused mainly by lifestyle factors. Would you tell us more about what you've learned about how to prevent these problems?
Well, when you have to realize that the main problem is the overconsumption of sugar and foods that rapidly turn into sugar when you eat them, which means a lot of heavily processed grain products turn into sugar almost immediately. If you can work on that problem in your diet, then you can lick almost all of these diseases, because they all have some sort of root in that diet that heavily turns into sugar. And so if you don't identify that, if you don't look at that in the context of your own diet, then you're not going to make much headway into anything else. And the reality is that for a lot of people that are experiencing these diseases, they have so little education about what food actually does in their body. I mean, I've talked to hundreds of people with diabetes, and rarely do I ever come across a single person who knows what's actually happening in their body with that disease. They don't know anything about it. Oh, I have high sugar. They don't know anything about what that means in the process of how their body works, or that if they have type 2 diabetes, they can literally, for most people, get rid of it in a month or two by changing their diet. They don't have to be on medicine. It's just something that they're actually doing. I don't even consider type 2 diabetes a disease. I think it's just a normal reaction that your body has to what you put into it. So if you change what you put into it, you won't have that reaction anymore. And that's actually true for a lot of these diseases. But the problem is educating the people about their food choices, because so many people just don't believe that what they're actually eating has any influence on what's actually happening with their health. And because, you know, their parents were overweight, they had diabetes, it's hereditary. No, it's not hereditary. What's hereditary is a really bad diet that your parents taught you to eat. And so all this comes back to literally a few things like education, somehow making it to a point where people have to spend some time actually learning about food, maybe in high school, you know, at some level in their education. And then I don't know what it is that would turn that person around to where they actually view it as something important, because I'm telling you right now, the crisis is all over the world in the amount of people that you see that are obese and experiencing these diseases.
Yeah, I know. When I've taught children about nutrition, they're very, very responsive. So I really hope our schools can get to the point where they will teach people about something that affects their lives every day. I mean, maybe they have to do their math, but this is even more important as far as maintaining their health. And today they're saying that youngsters will be the first generation whose life expectancy will be less than their parents. But from what you're saying we don't have to live with that prediction.
Well, we don't. But, you know, when you look at it, and that was a key point that you just brought up, that teaching children, it's actually quite easy. Children can see the relevancy of it much easier than teenagers and people in their early 20s. It's hard to change someone around in their 20s or 30s if they've haven't had that upbringing, because they're now locked into the medical system. They believe they're born defective or something, and it's really hard to change the foods that they're actually addicted to. You know, with my family, my little kids, I just tell them right out that that's not good for you. You shouldn't eat it. Or I don't buy that grape when it's out of season because it's from a different country and they spray a lot of pesticides on it. We'll eat it when it's in season and it's organic. Things like that. And they don't really question it. I don't bring it into the house. But it still has to start with those kids. And I hate to almost say this, but we might have lost a whole generation here that you can't do a whole lot about. There'll be people in it that will actually have a crisis and maybe an awakening to see that they're causing it themselves and that there's a different way of doing it. But in general, we might lose a whole generation that starts to die sooner than their parents, and it's up to us to save the next one, their actual kids. Maybe they'll learn if it's taught in school, or learn from the problems that their parents are having to be able to change everything.
Well, that's a serious problem, and that would be sad to lose a generation, but if we can get to the kids, that's truly important. I'm fascinated by what you said about diabetes type 2 not really being a disease, and there's been this trend to label things. Now obesity is called a disease and pain is called a disease. And it's nice to be able to slap some prescription on these so-called diseases. But what you're saying is that these are fairly natural reactions to really poor diet and lifestyle.
It is. It's all a reaction. Your body's just responding the only way it possibly can to what you're putting in it. That's basically what it is. You know, in science and medicine, and you can't really blame pharmaceutical companies, but because pharmaceutical companies are actually marketing companies, just like the company that makes cars. They will tell you that you have to have this car, and they create desire for these products by commercials, and now drug companies are into commercials. And so they create diseases that, you know, 30 years ago, people used to be shy. Now they have a social adjustment disorder. And so when they actually came out and labeled it that way, in 1 year they ended up between 5 and 8 million customers for an antidepressant, based on just changing a word from shyness to social adjustment disorder. So, you know, this is how marketing works. But the reality is it's the same way with diet. I don't believe heart disease or, you know, high blood pressure or diabetes or all these things are really diseases. It's just the fact that your body is so deficient of certain nutrients that it starts to break down. And this is in a nutshell how your body actually works, is that it's run by a system called homeostasis. And your body requires about 40 some, you know, odd number of nutrients, amino acids on a daily basis. And when you don't get them, then your body, through homeostasis, recognizes what the most important thing is at that moment and just uses what nutrition you put in the body to take care of that. And usually it's your reproductive system, because, you know, your body knows that if your reproductive system is basically what creates new life. It's what sustains you. It's part of your, you know, your glandular system is part of that. So whatever nutrition you put into it, it will take care of that first, and if there's any left over, then it'll use it for something else. Well, when your diet's so deficient in nutrients, then you're basically just dealing with little emergencies every day and not dealing with things like repairing your DNA. This is why so many people start to break down in their 40s and 50s, and they start to get degenerative, what we call degenerative diseases, because there's not enough nutrition left over to run the repair mechanisms for your DNA and all your cells. And so your body just starts to break down. Now, we go out and get drugs. Well, it doesn't change it. It just covers up some symptoms. And it's basically you will feel better because you don't feel the symptoms, or your numbers are different on a chart. But that doesn't mean that you're actually healthier. It just means that it's a really unique way of making you feel good for a short period of time.
Exactly. That makes so much sense, and you explain it so, so well. Thank you. Families today are carrying extra stress from economics, lost jobs, lost homes, increased food and transportation costs. And I think that lifestyle changes that they may think they should make, that just falls to the bottom of the priority list. So what can you share with families that are in that situation?
Well, you know, I think that reaction is just because they're feeling kind of hopeless and a little overwhelmed because of the economy and all the things going on. But if you look at it, actually, it's the perfect time to make changes to actually get healthier, because a lot of people aren't going to be able to afford insurance. A lot of people can't keep up with medical bills. They can't drive as much, so they're not just out wasting time driving around and going anywhere they want. And they're not going to be able to afford to go all the restaurants they want. So it's a perfect time to actually say, look, we have to consolidate everything that we do. And the main thing is we're going to eat at home a lot more. We're going to have more family time, you know, spend more time with our actual loved ones at home, and be paying attention to a lot of things that we just never really focused on at all. So it's really a perfect time to change all your habits. Because you know what? Most people in a time of where the economy is just humming along and they're making money and they're, you know, they can do just about, have the freedom to do just about anything they want. The first thing that goes out the window is paying attention to what you're actually doing. And so you just end up, you know, especially with the younger generation, you end up with all these electronic devices that you're on. You're on the web, you're on Facebook, you're on this and that. You're out doing something every single moment of the day, and pretty much the days just go by and you don't really do anything.
Yeah, it can become a bad habit, and this is about looking in the mirror and really changing habits. And that's such a great response, that this is a time when people are cocooning a bit and taking a look at more at their daily life. We're up on another break, so please come back and hear more of Roger's great insights. Thank you, Roger.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe, has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. to access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the Total Education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Roger Drummer, a world-renowned expert in nutrition and oriental herbal medicine, and he's been sharing some great insights about how we can really get healthy and stay healthy and avoid the degenerative conditions that plague so many people in our country and even now in the developing world. Roger, you were talking about changing lifestyle, even in this hard economic time, and that maybe this is the best time because we're cutting back on going eating out, and we don't want to have medical expenses hitting us, and we don't want to lose time from whatever jobs we have. So what would you say is the first step a family can take and the most important one to improve? I think we're going to probably say sugar because you've talked about that earlier, but what does that look like if a family's trying to make that change?
Well, the most important thing you can do is focus on a healthy diet. And, you know, part of that is avoiding sugar and processed foods. But you have to make a commitment to finding out what healthy food is, how food works in your body, and then a commitment to working these changes in your diet into the whole family and stick to it. Because diet is even more important than exercise. Exercise is really important, but it might be like number two. But unless you change your diet, I would say in a lot of cases, you're actually doing yourself more harm than good by being on a great exercise program and eating really poorly. Because the two don't mix very well. You put a lot of strain on your physical body, and you're putting chemicals in it that just cause inflammation. Exercise itself causes a little inflammation. So it's just not a great combination. You're stressing yourself too much without having the proper environment internally to feel really well. And I know that for a fact because when I ended up with chronic fatigue, I was eating really healthy, but I wasn't eating the proper diet for my metabolism. And I was on a too strict of a diet for a vegetarian diet and doing too much heavy exercise. So you have to be aware of what you're actually doing when you exercise and the food that you eat. But for the average family, it's about recognizing that you have to have a certain amount of vegetables and fruit every single day. Now that might sound really, you know, like common advice to you, but I know so many people that never actually ever eat a fruit or a vegetable ever on any single day. They don't like them, and so they don't eat any. Their diet consists mainly of processed flour, meat, and cheese products. And, of course, a lot of these people are 100 pounds overweight, and they're 12 years old. But the reality is, and they refuse to actually eat anything else. And so the first thing you have to do is raise your awareness about food. Food, for almost anybody that has kids, the parents, food should be their hobby. The thing that they do as a hobby should be to learn something about nutrition every single day and get involved with it. And be, when you go shopping, it should be an experience of not just grabbing things that look good or that you've seen that are advertised. You have to be able to look at products and see whether they're worthy of putting it into your actual body. Because you can't run any cellular process in your body without nutrition. And so if you're just putting junk into it, there's a lot that needs to go on internally that never will happen for you. And you might get by when you're in your 30s or so, but it's going to catch up with you, and you're going to end up being put into the medical system and being treated for a whole host of diseases and end up on a lot of drugs that actually all create their own disease syndromes. So there's nothing more important than paying attention to your diet.
That's such great advice. And in my book, The Seven Secrets of Successful Parents, one of the secrets is to attend to basic needs. And nutrition is one of them. That's one of the things that parents need to do, is make sure that the right foods are put in front of their children and that the junk foods just aren't there tempting everybody. And it's such a serious responsibility of parents, and like you say, they just don't know it. They want the best for their children, but they don't know that they should be knowing these things. They should make the effort to learn about them. That's great advice. I often hear people say, well, I'm going to die of something. It's either my heart will give out, or my liver, or my lungs, or my weight. I should lose some weight, but I don't have time. How do you respond to those folks?
Well, you know, it's like the person who smokes and always says, well, I'm going to die of something anyway. Do you have any idea how painful it is to die of cancer, to die of lung cancer, to waste away? I mean, you know, and heart disease, people aren't really thinking. I honestly think that anybody that feels that way is kind of checked out. They're not really thinking, or they're trying to avoid the idea that they will actually die at some point. And, you know, I heard a great talk the other day on this subject, and it was about two things that almost everybody thinks won't ever happen to them. And the two things one of them is that they will ever die. Most people just don't think that it'll ever happen to them. And I've actually talked to people whose job is to counsel people who are dying. And I remember them telling me one time, they were talking to a lady who was 96 years old, and she's laying there on her deathbed, and she goes, I can't believe this is happening to me. And the lady said, well, what did you think was going to happen? You know, and then the other thing is that most people don't ever think that they ever do anything wrong. I thought that was really interesting. It's true. Most people think that all the things that go wrong in their life is because somebody else messed something up, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
It's just the way they say it, but they don't realize, or maybe they haven't been around enough people who are dying early, or have an early death due to some chronic ailment. It's not fun. It's usually not pain-free, and it causes a lot of suffering, not only for the person, but for their entire family. And so there's, you know, and besides that, why wouldn't you want to live a full life where you're actually have a clear mind and you have some control over what's going on every single day? I think the people just aren't thinking, really.
Yeah, that long-term thinking of realizing that, you know, would you like to, you know, die quickly at 95 or be uncomfortable from 70 on and a burden on your family. What are some of the benefits that people can expect right now so they don't have to think so far ahead? Like I originally studied nutrition for my family because my husband and I want to be married 100 years. So I was looking long distance, but I was really surprised the good things that happened when I did change my diet. This was 40 years ago. Things that changed right there then, the first month, the first couple months. And so what are some of the benefits that people can look forward to right now?
Well, the main one is that most people, if they're on a fast food diet and they're eating a lot of processed foods, if they can change that to where they're eating, let's say, 5 to 7 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, most of them will have a doubling of their energy within probably 10 days. And a lot of people go, oh, no, 5 to 7 servings. That is such a small amount of fresh food. When you actually know the servings, a lot of times for certain foods, it's a half a cup or something. If you saw it in one plate, it'd be about what a strict vegetarian eats at one meal. It's not that much stuff. It's, right. And people, I've given these talks before where I just challenge people. I said, you want to double your energy? Eat 7 or 8 servings of green food a day for a week. I got emails back where 3 or 4 people lost 8 to 10 pounds in 1 week, and they ate all day. They ate all this food, this fresh food and greens, and they felt just fantastic. It was a life-changing event for the people that actually tried it. And I told, when I mentioned it to the meeting, I said, I know hardly anybody here will actually do this, but I'm going to sell it to you anyway. And so you can feel much more energy right away. You'll feel clearer mentally. You'll just won't probably have so many slumps during the day of energy going down. But, I mean, these are things you can feel right away. And when you add a few other little things into it, like just drinking clean water, being conscious that your body actually needs water that it can metabolize and utilize in your cells, and you change over to something like that, and now you're eating fresher food, and you're more conscious about everything in your environment, you can feel amazingly different in 30 days.
That's great advice, and I think that's so important that people can feel a difference in a very, very short time. And they don't have to just think, well, if I'm careful about this, I won't die of cardiovascular disease. They can actually improve their lives now. And I love your comment about exercise alone isn't good. It can put a lot of stress if you're eating a really poor diet. It's not really going to work for you. And we see, you know, it makes news when young athletes that look totally healthy end up dying on the field or having bone problems or immune problems. And so it's not just about working the body, which is important. You have to feed it as well. So I really like those comments.
Well, you know what? You brought up a great comment about athletes dying. There's almost an epidemic of high school and college basketball players dying of heart disease, where their heart just goes off into an irregular rhythm and they die. And it's happening at a much greater rate than it ever used to. And it's actually, you know, probably related to just a simple deficiency of nutrients that allows the heart to make ATP or energy. And so, because when you look at how poorly kids eat, and then if you're an athlete and you're literally living at a fast food restaurant and not consuming anything that has basic minerals in it, well, your heart has to have a tremendous amount of magnesium to actually make ATP or energy. And the diet of the average person does not supply hardly any at all. In fact, about 70% of the country is deficient in that one nutrient. And if the heart cannot make ATP, and literally if you don't have magnesium, you just can't make energy in the mitochondria of yourself, and then you're stressing it so much, like a basketball player who will run an average of 3 to 5 miles every game at full speed, stop and go, stop and go, it's amazing that we don't have more of it. Because the heart, literally, it's just like thinking about your car. Would your car run really well on a racetrack with 2 quarts of oil and really low octane gas? No, it's going to blow up. But people are always looking for these really obscure medical cures for something like this, and it just goes back to basic diet.
I love those comments. Certainly, magnesium is one of my favorite things to recommend, and they've done studies that if they give someone magnesium after a heart attack, they're half as likely to have another one. And it's also the first mineral that disappears when you cook your fruits and vegetables, when you process them. So I'm so glad you brought that up. We are up on another break, Roger, so listeners, please come back. We have another chance to get some more insights from Roger.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news, and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
We're talking with Roger Drummer, who's a diplomat of Chinese herbology and also an internationally known nutritionist, and he's sharing some wonderful concepts about how our bodies work and how food affects us and how we can change our lifestyles, lifestyles that really are worth making, lifestyle changes. So, Roger, how does a family go about actually making these changes? As a parenting advisor, I'm always about it's really the parent's job to have control in the house and, like you said earlier, tell the kids when something's not good and you're not going to buy it. So what would a healthy refrigerator and snack cabinet look like in a house where the parent is really taking control? And what do you do when the child just doesn't like it? I have a lot of parents who say, oh, well, she won't eat her vegetables. What do we do for those parents?
Well, you're always going to have that. I mean, the tough thing about really little kids is that they get hooked on certain things and then they won't eat certain foods for months. And I mean, it is a battle. But what you want to do is remove the worst offenders from your house and so that you don't have that to fall back on, and then learn creative ways to get kids to eat certain foods. And for some of them, it's just finding the right dish that it actually goes into and then they'll eat it. For my kids, is finding the right salad dressing. And then they love salads, right? And usually we make our own. It's a combination of things. Or we buy maybe one or two brands of something that they just seem to like. And then they'll eat a whole huge salad. They're really into it. But you have to find those little things with each kid. But the main thing is you have to get rid of the worst offenders and don't bring them into the house. And that, by that, I don't mean that you will deny your kids cookies for the rest of their life, right? Or they can't ever eat ice cream for the rest of their life. No, it's not about that. It means if you're going to buy those things, you make sure they're made in a certain way without food chemicals, without flavors and MSGs and NutraSweet and all this other garbage, and you limit how much they get, and they get it as a treat. It doesn't become part of their meal. And the same way with ice cream, why would you deny a child the pleasure of eating ice cream once in a while? But at the same time, they're not going to have it every single night after dinner. And because that's what turns it into something that's completely terrible for them. And you buy a really high quality of one that probably doesn't have so many chemicals in it. It's maybe organically grown, so you know there's not a lot of pesticides and growth hormones in it. And you let them enjoy it when they actually have it. But it's not something they get all the time. That's the main thing with diet that people overlook, is that you can actually eat a diet that is not perfect and have really good health, but what throws it off more than anything is eating a large amount of low-quality food, because in actuality, the amount of nutrition your body requires goes up when your food has more chemicals in it, and I'm talking
right.
pesticides, when it has more man-made additives to it, food flavor enhancers, all these different things. That actually raises your body's level of nutrition that it needs to offset the stress caused to it by the other chemicals you're putting in it. So you have
cool.
to eliminate.
Roger, we have a caller, so I'd love to hear his question and see how your response.
Yes, good afternoon, Roger and Randy. May I pose this question? I've been reading a lot about what they call the blood diet or the blood type diet or anything. Are you aware of that, or can you enhance my own knowledge of this?
Roger, what's your response to that, the blood type diets that are out there?
Well, my first response is his voice sounds really familiar. Is that John?
This is John.
That's really funny. I haven't heard this guy's voice in over a year, and I know who this is. Well, as far as the blood type diet... By the way, hi, John.
How are you?
As far as the blood type diet, I think it has some validity to it, but it's a very oversimplified view of diet. And I think everybody has a certain typing, certain foods that they do really well on. But I think that book has a place to where it makes you aware that certain things for certain groups of people just aren't good foods. Because it'll make you experiment and try to see how you feel on different foods. Hardly anybody ever goes through that process. They don't think about it, so the book raises that awareness, but I think you might want to go a little further and maybe get your metabolic typing done and find out what's actually perfect for your specific type, and it might not be so much connected to your exact blood type.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Randy.
Oh, you're welcome, John.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling. I wrote a book called The Four Temperaments based on the ancient four categories that go back to Hippocratic medicine, and it's fascinating. It does work a little better than something as oversimplified as the blood type diet. So that was... very interesting question. Thank you. And we just have a few more minutes, but I'd love to have you comment. There's a lot in the news now about the GMO controversy and shall we label them? Shall we buy them? Genetically modified organisms. They're splicing new genes into our vegetables and fruits to make them last longer or resist pesticides that are added to the fields. What's your take on that, Roger?
It's the worst thing they could have ever done to the food supply. And you can look at this one comment by one of the major companies that produces a lot of it, reported to Congress. They made a comment to Congress when they were trying to decide how to label this stuff, that if you actually put that on the label, it'd be like putting a skull and crossbones on it. No one would eat it. Why is that? Because in every single test done with genetically modified food fed to animals, it caused so many degenerative diseases and destroyed, literally, their reproductive systems that the animals will die out within a generation or two. So is that something we want to introduce into the food supply? And how we really have to look at, how does a company that is just set up to sell food products, it's just a company involved in commerce, that's all it is, has decided to introduce something into the food supply that has never been tested, and that human beings have never experienced in the entire time this planet has been in existence. Does that make any sense to anyone? Why does that have to not go through a scientific process before they decide that it's safe for human consumption? Why do we have to be guinea pigs?
I think we just have a couple more minutes, so I want to make sure, Roger, that people know where to find your information and how they can contact you for speaking and consulting, and also to hear about your new supplement for immunity for children. So let's give them some hard information of how to connect with you.
All right. Well, I have a anti-stress energy drink that I have on the market. It's made out of Chinese herbs and nutraceuticals for offsetting the dangerous effects of stress, especially on your brain. And it's called Tian Chi, which is spelled T-I-A-N-C-H-I. And the website for that is TianChiRealEnergy.com. And that's one way of connecting with me. I have a blog called AskRogerDrummer.com. And that has a place on that page where you can actually send me a question and get a reply to it. That's two ways of connecting. And my future product that I'll be bringing out real soon, it's a immune system product for children. It comes in a liquid dropper bottle. And that will be, you'll probably find information on that through my Tian Chi Real Energy site when it comes out.
Oh, that's really awesome. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And obviously, you know a great deal and have a depth of understanding that's rare in this field. And thank you so much for sharing your insights today, Roger. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.